thank the good Lord for another day's journey. Amen. Thank God for everyone in their respective places that participate in this worship. Amen. It is a great thing to worship the Lord.
Oh, yes, it is.
Amen. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Amen. It's all right. He said, let everything that have breath. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Amen.
Glory.
So we're going to go right ahead. We don't want to prolong the time. We do have another good word from the Lord for today. And I just want to continue in the vein of teaching that we've been getting in the past few sessions. Amen. And I hope you've been learning some things. I know you have.
Yes.
Amen. And we want to go ahead right now today and put in one more installment. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about the relationship of the soul.
Yeah.
And trying to give some attention to that, because that's a very, very important facet of human life. We talked about a few things, and I'm just going to give a little exposition in case someone who may be listening now has not heard the previous series of messages. But we're talking about the trichotomy, if you will. If you don't mind if I use a fancy $49 word. It's the threefold nature of man, body, soul, and spirit. As we find in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Paul says that I pray that God sanctify you entirely, body, soul, and spirit. Sanctification sets you apart.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when we look at one another, we only see the body.
Right.
But we said the body is the house of the spirit and the soul.
Yeah.
And even a fallen body has a spirit and a soul.
Mm-hmm.
The difference is a saved body is also possessed, if you will, mm-hmm. by the Spirit of God.
That's
we like to say possessed when we're talking about demons.
Amen.
But we don't want to say possessed when we're talking about God.
And, yeah.
But we really should say that we are possessed.
That's right. Amen.
By the Spirit of God. God has taken up residence in you.
Yeah.
Not only are you possessed in that way, but the Bible says you're not your own.
That's right.
For you've been bought with a price. Oh, you've been redeemed.
Right.
That's what redemption is. Yeah. The fact that God bought you with a price. And so that's what we want to talk about, that aspect of the soul. So you have your body, soul, and spirit,
mm-hmm.
and you are occupied by the Holy Spirit of God if you are saved.
Amen.
If you're saved, the Holy Spirit has moved in.
That's right.
And he's taken up residence in you.
Mm-hmm.
You've been sealed, the
sealed.
Bible says, with the Holy Spirit of promise for the day of redemption.
Yes. Yes.
Ephesians 4:30, if you want a text to put to wrap that around. See? And so you have been sealed. Not only did God put the Spirit in, but he put his seal on you.
That's right. Amen.
And you belong to him.
Yes, I do.
Paul said you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price.
Yes.
And the price is what we want to talk about today. What was that price? The blood of Jesus, yes. He shed his blood. He poured out his precious blood.
Mm-hmm.
But he also, you're going to find out today, is more than the blood.
Mm-hmm.
The blood is the physical part.
Yeah, right.
Jesus did give himself entirely
yes.
to God.
Yes,
he became an offering for sin.
Yes, he did.
For the sin of all who believe in him.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave his body to be marred and crucified.
Mm-hmm.
That was bodily submission
yes.
to the Father.
Yeah.
His spirit, he said, is actually given also, because he gave his spirit and he also gave his soul. And I want you to see it today. We're going to take a look at a text very familiar, but I thought it would be good in this particular series of teaching to see that Jesus gave himself entirely
mm-hmm.
for us
yeah.
who believe.
Mm-hmm.
And by doing that, God was satisfied. Now let me add this right at the top. I know this kind of lets the cat out of the bag, or so to speak. But he gave himself entirely so that God could be satisfied with whoever believes in him.
Yeah.
My Lord.
Mm-hmm. He's not satisfied with people who think they satisfy him on their own. He's not satisfied with people who say there's some other way that he can be satisfied. Because if you don't know, if you think something else can satisfy God on your behalf, let me just put it simply and point blank, you're mistaken.
All right.
And that will be a fatal error, if you will.
Yes, it will.
Because God is only accepting one way, and that is the way which he has provided.
Yes. Right.
That's why Jesus had the boldness to say, I am the way.
That's right.
I am the way,
the truth, and the life.
Yes.
No one comes to the Father except by me.
That's right.
See, so he declared himself to be the only way. Yes. So you know what? The real church preaches that Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
Is that politically correct? No, but it's biblically true.
Yes.
And therefore it is a fact. And I haven't been charged to take care of not stepping on political toes. I have been charged to preach the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and teach all the nations. Did that leave anybody out? Let me ask you. Well, I got to be careful now, I'm talking to Iranians. No, Iranians, one gospel for you. And God wants to save you. He has made a way. He has provided a way. He became a way to save you.
Amen.
And we're going to see that as we look at these familiar texts here today. So put your spiritual thinking cap on. Remember what we said about the soul and the body and the spirit. And listen carefully here and read with me if you don't mind. Take a stand and stretch your legs a little. And let's read a very familiar passage in the book of Isaiah. The Isaiah chapter number 53. Very, very familiar. We're only reading the last six verses here in chapter 53, verses 6 to 12. Then I want to call your attention to a New Testament text, which is found in 1 Peter chapter 2. And those will be on your handout if you happen to have the handout. If not, get your Bible ready. Turn to Isaiah, the Gospel of Isaiah in the Old Covenant. Read chapter number 53. Start with verse number 6. Let's read. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone unto his own way. And the Lord have laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is bought as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He has made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. That's the concluding verses of Isaiah chapter number 53. May God bless the reading and the hearing of his old covenant text. And now for the Apostle Peter, the protos, or so to speak, he is the first or the foremost of the apostles, writes in chapter 2, verse 21, read, for even hereunto we were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Who his own self bare our sin in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.
Amen.
May God bless the reading and the hearing of his holy word. You may be seated in the sanctuary in the presence of the Lord. And I want to entertain your mind here in a spiritual way for the next few moments, talking about the atonement for the fallen soul. Atonement for the fallen soul. That word atonement is a word that comes out of the Hebrew, and it means a covering or something that sets you back right. In other words, we could call it a cure, if you will, for the problem of sin. It's the covering. It's the price that God requires to correct the fault with any particular person. It's a Hebrew word, kafar, is one word that's translated atonement. It was also translated pitch in the book of Genesis, and it's what Noah was instructed to put on the outside of the ark and on the inside, pitch it without and within. And they didn't say atone there because it was being used as the application of something which would prevent judgment from coming into the ark, when the judgment in that case was water. So this pitch is a covering, it's an anointing, it's a protective substance that God said put that on, kind of like tar that covered over the cracks in the wood that Noah assembled. And what was it for? To keep the judgment of the great flood out of the ark of safety, which was the place of safety.
Amen.
So it was atonement in that sense, in the fact that it lifted up the ones who believed God, the 8 souls that went in the ark, and the rest that were outside were destroyed.
Amen.
And so it atoned for them and made them separated from the other people. The fact that they were within the ark, which was the place God had placed his spirit. It's the place where God said when it was time for the ark to go, after the animals had been called in two by two, Noah and his family were outside, and they heard a voice from within saying, come into the ark.
Yes.
See, and that was God who was in the ark.
Follow.
And when they had come in, the 8 souls that were spared, then he shut the door. God shut the door. And the door was shut. Once God calls and you don't come at that time, you know what? Somebody else could have ran up in there if they thought it made any sense. But they said, yeah, that ark, that's a silly idea. It never has rain. What is this man doing? He must have lost his mind. Going up in there with all those animals. This is the way they may have been thinking at the time. But God knew when the time was right. He said that the thoughts and the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. In those days.
Yes.
And Jesus tells us in the future that so shall it be as it was in the days of Noah. As it will be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking and marrying and being given in marriage until the flood came and swept them away.
Yeah.
So that's the way the world's going to be. Not everybody is going to repent. There's going to be some people who continue on business as usual.
Yep.
They're going to pay no attention to what God and God's people are saying. And so, but the ones who do listen, they are covered with the atonement, just that illustration of the ark. They say, what does that have to do with the book of Isaiah? In the New Testament, the word atonement primarily is related to the word that's used sparingly in the New Testament, and it is the word propitiation. It's used about 3 times. John uses it, and it means the thing that satisfies God.
Yes.
There's one thing that satisfies God. It's not how pretty we look on Sunday morning. It's not how we walk about and do the stuff we do and keep God's law. None of that. There's one thing that satisfies God. And this is what we need as an atonement for our fallen souls. Isaiah makes it very clear here. Even in the book of Isaiah 53 verse 6, he says, all we like sheep, that's the whole human family, have gone astray, the righteous and the wicked, no matter who they are. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have not done everything perfectly. We have turned everyone, see that? To his own way. We like to do it our way. We're in the Frank Sinatra Club. And the Lord hath laid upon him, who is the Messiah, the iniquity of us all. See, so God has one way to fix iniquity. You know what he did? He took on flesh. He was born in the womb of a virgin. He came forth out of the womb of a virgin. Without a spot or a blemish. Not with the blood of Adam. But he came, he had a human mother, but not the Father was the Holy Spirit. Talked about that at Christmas time. That's how he could purge Jesus and make sure he did not have the sin of Adam in his bloodstream.
Amen.
So Jesus came forth, and he was holy because of the fact that God made a supernatural intervention to bring his son into the world. Where was Jesus before? He was in heaven.
Right. Yes.
Face to face with the Father.
That's right.
But the Bible tells us he humbled himself.
Yeah.
And took up on him the form of a servant.
Yeah.
It was found in fashion as of a man.
See,
so it was his desire to come out of heaven.
Right.
Face to face with the Father. To humble himself. To bring himself down.
Yes.
To a level a little lower than the angels.
Jesus.
That's what the Bible tells us in Hebrews. We'll be getting back into that when our Bible study resumes. He took on him the form of a servant. He was a little lower than the angels. Mankind, in terms of the order of creation, is a little lower than the angels.
That's right.
That's what the Bible said. That's why the question was asked, what is man?
Mm-hmm.
That thou art mindful of him.
Yeah.
Or the son of man, that thou takest notice of him.
Mm-hmm.
You crowned him with wisdom and honor and all those things.
Yes.
You put under him all the works of your hands. But what is man? The angels ask. They're wondering, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why do you give so much attention to man?
Man.
That might be part of what made the devil become the devil.
Yeah.
Couldn't understand, why do you favor these people?
Mm-hmm.
They're not right, they go astray, they break the law, they do everything you said don't do,
mm-hmm.
and you favor them above others.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't know the answer to that. It's one of the great mysteries of the Bible calls it the mystery of iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
There's several mysteries in the Bible, things that we don't really get a full grip or understanding. Like, why does God put up with iniquity?
Mm-hmm.
And Paul said the mystery of iniquity is still at work.
Yes.
Iniquity is inborn fallenness that comes in us when we are conceived.
Yes.
In the womb. We come in the world with a problem.
Yes, we do.
Nobody can fix it but God.
Nobody but God.
But everybody has it. There's not a soul who is free of iniquity. Not one soul. The only one that was the one God sent in through a virgin.
The Son of Jesus.
See? And his soul was perfect.
Yes, it was.
As a result of God's intervention.
Yeah.
And God did that before man sinned. He made the woman so that she could have a son without being tainted with the blood of Adam.
Amen.
So God is so awesome. His intelligence is off the charts.
Yes.
When you look back and you see what he did.
Yeah.
And so Isaiah says here, all we like sheep, that means the whole human family, have gone astray.
Yep.
We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord had laid upon him, speaking of Messiah, the iniquity of us all. Now this is what happened to Messiah when he was manifested and began a ministry about the age of 30. After he'd been in the world for 30 years, he was oppressed.
Yes.
And he was afflicted.
Yes, he was.
Yet he opened not his mouth.
Right.
He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter.
Mm-hmm.
As a sheep before her shearers is dumb,
mm-hmm.
so he opened his not his mouth. See, he didn't say a mumbling word, the old folk used to say. He never said a mumbling word. He was silent because these people were doing him wrong. He knew they were going to do it. It was written by Isaiah centuries before he was born in the flesh. See that? He was taken from prison and from judgment.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? They bounced him around all night trying to get somebody to declare him guilty so we can crucify him.
Mm-hmm.
They did everything illegal at all the trials. Took him from one person to another. Israel was already under the dominion of Rome. Didn't have the authority to do capital punishment.
Mm-hmm.
But they were determined that we're going to get rid of you. Whatever we have to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we start a kangaroo court. We take you from all the priests and all of that. And take you over to Herod. Herod said, well, don't bring it. First, they took him to Pilate. Pilate said, that's y'all's business. Take it to your king. Don't come over here with it.
Yeah.
This is not of a Roman matter. We don't care about your little stuff going on in your little town. Hit it. Hit the road.
Yeah.
And he sent them off, and they went to take him to someone else. Because they didn't have the political authority to execute
him. That's right.
So they were trying to get authority to put him to death. Pilate was smart enough to say, hey, this is a religious matter. It's not a political matter.
Yep.
You get out of my court right now. So they took him over to the king.
Mm-hmm.
And with the king played around with him for a while, and then he sent him back. Well, you take him back because I don't have authority and I'm not interested in him. Get him out of my place.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but they kept on bouncing him around just like Isaiah said.
Yes.
That he was taken from prison and from judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. That was the end result of the kangaroo court that Jesus faced on the night when he was crucified. And notice what it says. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Now the word transgression is different than the word iniquity. Iniquity is our proclivity to sin.
Mm-hmm.
that we have a tendency to sin.
Yes.
Transgression is when you learn the truth and you sin anyway.
Yep.
You say, I know you said this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And you know better, and you sin anyway. That's a transgression.
Yes.
It's like God drew a line, and you said, okay, and you step over the line. And you know it. It's with full will that you do this. So it's different. Iniquity is, oh, I slip into stuff and have a tendency to do stuff. I have fetishes for evil stuff.
Yep.
I desire evil stuff, and it's in my system. That's why I keep wanting to do it. And that's what the difference is between iniquity and transgression. Now, it may come out of your iniquity that you do transgression when you learn that God said, these things are against my law.
Mm-hmm.
And when you learn it and you do it anyway, that's a transgression.
Amen.
And he made his grave with the wicked. That's why they hung him between two thieves.
See?
And he was with the rich in his death. That's Joseph of Arimathea, who comes to get the body back, a secret disciple to ask Rome not to let the body remain on the tree all night. Because he had done no violence. That's the report of Messiah. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Everything he said was true. He spoke with the authority of God because he was God.
Yes.
Yet it pleased the Lord. Now see that, pay attention to that word. It pleased, that means it satisfied God to bruise him.
Wow.
He hath put him to grief.
Mm.
Who was behind that they were doing? They thought they were behind him.
Right.
We hate him and we want him out of here. But it was God who knew that you would fill up the cup of wrath by crucifying his own son.
Mm.
Wrote it down generations before it happened.
Mm.
See that? They pleased the Lord. Now, what does that mean? That means God was only satisfied because Jesus loved us enough to take our sin upon him. And he allowed them to degradate him. He allowed them to spit on him in his face. He allowed all the stuff they did. They cast insults in their teeth.
Yes,
they did. He said they cast in his teeth different things against him. That's a way of saying they spoke evil out of their mouth against him.
Yep.
See, that's an idiom in the Greek. That they cast in their teeth. They know where they were saying stuff awful, and it's like swords and spears coming out of their mouth to slander and ridicule and put him down. Even though, notice what it says, he had done no violence.
No.
Neither was there deceit in his mouth. Nothing he said was said to deceive anyone. But it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make, notice this very carefully, his soul an offering for sin. Now let's stop there. I want to just park right there on the idea of the soul of Jesus being an offering for our sin. Remember we said the soul is the active part in your mind, in your body, your mind, your will, your emotions. The part in you that's held responsible for what you do is your soul. Your soul is held responsible. The soul that sinneth, Ezekiel says, shall die. That's because the soul is in the middle. It's neutral. And it's affected by the mind, the will, the emotions, the stimuli around it. Different things in the atmosphere. It's affected by knowledge and wisdom. It's affected by history. That you have, things you have done. And all that stuff you've been subjected to by others, that all affects what your soul does.
Yes.
See, we looked at the psalmist who said, bless the Lord, oh my soul. See, he determined that my soul is going to be focused on the Lord. And my proclivity is going to be toward God. That means if I do sin, I confess my sin to God. I don't try to cover it up.
Amen.
I don't try to hide it.
Amen.
I tell it to God.
Amen.
So he can forgive me.
Amen.
See, and he said over and over in that psalm we looked at, bless the Lord, oh my soul. So he was directing his soul toward God and toward fellowship with the Almighty.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jesus here says that God made his soul an offering for sin.
Yep.
You see that? He shall see his seed. That's people who come as a result of what he did and are born after him. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. See, God's only satisfied with people who acknowledge his son.
That's right.
Because he has prolonged his days now about 2,018 years. See, he will see his seed, people who are born again. Out of They are saved because of the knowledge of Christ. And that Christ alone is the one who saves you. He's the only one that pleases God.
The only one.
Without him, we can do nothing, Jesus said, right? John 15, without me, you can do nothing. Because I'm the only one who satisfies God. His soul was a perfect soul. It was like the soul of Adam before he sinned. And see, and this was the Son of God taking on flesh, coming out of eternity. This is very important. Notice it. It says here, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. I think that's a prophecy of the church. Because now the church is not only the Jews, it includes believing Jews, but it also includes Gentiles of every stripe who believe in Jesus Christ. It's going to go on. This is the last organization that God will establish on earth is the church. The church is the bride of Christ. And you know what he said about marriages, didn't he? He said, for this cause a man shall leave his father. Think about Jesus leaving his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So he has made us one flesh with him. See, and that's why it was necessary for him to become flesh. He couldn't just say, I'm going to marry you spiritually, which he did in the old covenant. But now he did, but he actually fleshed out his promise.
Yes, he did.
The
yes.
word became flesh, John said, John 1:14, and dwelt among us. See, he came in exactly like we did. He wasn't created from the dust like Adam was.
Like
he was born. He had to be in a sack of waters for 9 months and pressed forth into the world out of a womb when the waters broke.
Model.
Have his cord cut and tied. And all those things. He was born just like me and you. See what I'm saying? So he was like us in every way. In the sense that he was a human being that was born in the world. He was unlike us in the way that he had no sin. And neither was there any deceit in his mouth. He did not have an earthly father. It was God the Father who birthed him by the Holy Spirit into the Virgin Mary. See, that's what made him unique and made him able to please the Lord. And God had planned that before man and sinned all the way back in Genesis 2. Now let's move along. This is a heavy thought. I know I'm putting a lot on your plate here this morning. Verse 11. He shall see the travail of his soul. See that? Jesus came in, had the full human experience. It was probably even worse for him because he was perfect. He was righteous. He was pure. No one else was. People didn't understand what he was doing. Not even his mother. His mother said, come on out of there, son. She just out of compassion. Don't be in there with them. They're all plotting to kill you. Just come home. Let's just stop this. Mary wanted to stop it. And she sent somebody through the crowd to say, Jesus, your mother and brother are outside calling for you. And he said, who is my mother? And who is my brother? But those who hear the word of God. See? But she, in her humanity, she couldn't stand what she was hearing buzzing in the crowds about how I'm going to execute him, get him and put him to death because he was perfectly righteous. So she was acting like any mother would act, out of compassion. She knew he was without a spot or a blemish. She knew he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. She knew she had not been touched by a man.
That's right.
She knew he was unique, but she couldn't understand all of the scuttlebutt going around about her son.
Amen.
So she just said as a mother, come on out of there, Jesus. Let's just go home. Let's forget all this. And he said, no, I have to do the will of him who sent me.
That's right.
So it says here, he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Now I want you to mark these words. That word in 53:10, pleased. The word in 53:11, satisfied. See that? God is pleased and he is satisfied with Jesus because he was the one who put him to grief in order to give him as a ransom for the sins of many. By his knowledge, that's what preaching the gospel is. Shall my righteous servant justify many? That means to make you just as if you never sinned.
Model.
For he shall bear their iniquity. He is a sin-bearing lamb.
Yes, he is.
Who takes away the sin of the world. See that? He doesn't just carry it away for a season like the scapegoat used to do. He takes it away forever. When you trust him, God is fully satisfied. What's the result? Verse 12. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great. Jesus' name is the greatest name there is. Anywhere in all of time.
That's right.
There's nobody else who stacks up.
Nobody.
I don't care who you name. Name somebody. They pale by comparison to the name of Jesus. I don't care who you say, Mussolini, they ain't somebody who they thought they was great. You know, whoever you were, you pale by comparison to Jesus. I don't care if it's Mohammed, whoever your name, Jesus is greater. Even Abraham, the people who stood for righteousness, the name of Jesus is greater. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil. That means he gets the victory with the strong, because he has poured out, notice again, his soul. Make note of those times you see that word soul, unto death. See that? He was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many. See that? Not all, but many. That's as many as believe in him. See that? And he made intercession for the transgressors, hanging on the cross. Father, forgive them.
Amen.
For they know not what they do.
Amen.
They don't even realize what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
See, and they have crucified your own son.
Mm-hmm.
They have crucified the Messiah you've been promising them all the way from Genesis.
Mm.
They are so evil, they don't know that I came to do them good. I came to bless them.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so the Old Testament word, as we mentioned, for what God provides for believers who come to him and trust him is atonement, which is equivalent to the New Testament word propitiation, which carries the idea of a complete satisfaction of God for each and every believer who trusts completely in Jesus and his finished work on the cross. What Jesus did is what makes you right. Nothing else.
Nothing else.
See, and that is the gospel. Now, that doesn't mean now I'm now licensed to go live like I'm going to hell. No. It should be just the opposite.
That's right.
Because God has loved you that much, now he is empowering you to walk in the truth.
Yeah.
He's empowering you to come off the foolishness. He's empowering you to be holy.
Yeah.
He's empowering you to be righteous. You should become more like Christ and less like yourself. And that's sanctification. That's what Paul prayed for. I pray God sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit.
Amen.
See? So it's a prayer of righteousness and sanctification, because you know Jesus made my account right with the Most High God.
Yes, he did.
So my response is now going to be to live like he lives.
Mm-hmm.
To do like he says.
Yeah.
Not only does he ask you to do that, but he also empowers you to do that. The Holy Spirit is not the one guiding you to lie.
No,
he's not the one guiding you to steal. He's not the one guiding you to fornicate. That's the flesh, and that's a choice that your soul makes based on its own purposes. It's not the purpose that God has for you.
That's right.
God made you so you can be like Christ. That's why we were called Christians, little Christs. We go around like Jesus. He is the one that by which we are born again.
Yeah.
See, we've been born in the flesh. He came in the flesh.
Yeah.
But he committed no sin. Neither was there any deceit in his mouth. And so whoever trusts him, God empowers them to be holy and to do things right. And that's why he makes intercession for the transgressors. Now let's jet to the New Testament for just one thought. I want you to think that Jesus is now seated in heaven. When he ascended in Acts chapter 1, the Bible says they were standing there looking up, and he went up into the clouds and was received out of their sight. And the angel said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye there gazing up into the clouds? That same Jesus that was taken up from you shall return in like manner as you have seen him go." You know, and so they're going, "Wow, watching him going up." See? And he went up. Where did he go? To sit at the right hand of the majesty on high. Why? Because his work was complete. The veil in the temple had been rent in the midst. No more rituals for God. God is not interested in any rituals today. That's why he tore the veil half in two in the temple when Jesus had finished the work on the cross. He had said, "Father, to thy hands I commit my spirit."
Yes.
And he gave up the ghost. Nobody took his life from him, like he says in John chapter 10, "But I lay it down that I might take it up again." So he was in full charge. And he did all of this for me and you.
Yes, he did.
So we have to understand that Isaiah speaks in the spirit. He reveals that it was the pure soul of Jesus that was able to cure the sin of everyone who believed in him.
Mm-hmm.
So that no human works, I actually have a typo there, are required, just faith in the Messiah.
Amen.
That's how you get saved.
Faith.
And that's why you don't have to worry about it. Am I saved? If you trust Jesus,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you trust in him and believe in him, yes.
Yeah.
Don't let the devil lie to you and tell you, well, you didn't do this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
And all this. The devil will always tell you that. God says, if you trust my son, you are saved.
Trust him.
God is not playing any games. The cross was no game. That was rough.
Ooh.
I don't even know how anybody could endure it without saying even a curse word or something. I've hit my hand with a hammer and have had to be going check. Have to come to the table and repent. I'm serious. Not to mention somebody nailing you somewhere and spitting on you, stripping off your clothes and all that, humiliating and disgracing you. Wow, he took an awful lot.
Wow.
But the only reason he did is that the satisfaction of the Father was in his mind.
Amen.
And he must satisfy his Father.
Thank you, Jesus.
See, and that's why he came. He even asked, Father, if possible, take this cup from me. Because it's a bitter cup.
Mm-hmm.
Full of the sin and the guile of all of humanity.
Yes.
But he said, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. That's why he satisfied God. That's why he pleased God. That's why if you trust him, you can know that you are forgiven. See, because Jesus poured out his soul, not just his body, not just his blood, not just his flesh, but he poured out his soul. Isaiah says here, the soul is the willful part of your body, your mind, your will, your emotions, that directs what your body does.
Yes.
Jesus had his soul dedicated entirely to the Father.
Yeah.
See, in order to satisfy him so that whoever believes in him will not perish. So that's the reason it's very important, that second point there. Now, Peter is thinking about this text when he writes the text we have in the New Testament. Then we can wrap up our thoughts. Peter 2:21, 1 Peter 2:21. For even hereunto were ye called. This is why God called you. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye, that means all y'all, should follow in his steps.
Mm-hmm.
See, look what Jesus did, how far he dedicated his soul to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about you? That's what Peter's saying.
Mm-hmm.
Who did no sin, he's reminding you what Isaiah said, neither was there any guile, no guile, in other words, trickery or deceit in his mouth, was found in his mouth, no guile.
Mm-hmm.
See, he wasn't trying to squeeze his way through anything or trick anybody or any of that. He was speaking the truth at all times.
Mm-hmm.
Who, when he was reviled not again.
Mm-hmm.
He chose not to revile in return. See that?
Mm-hmm.
When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously.
Amen.
See, that's why he was able to endure all that he took in his passion. Who his own self bare our sins. You see that in the plural, in his own body on the tree.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he went to the cross. To bear your sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens when you trust Christ. He puts death to the sin that you already have in you.
Mm-hmm.
See? Because why? His death paid the bill for your sin. All of it.
Mm-hmm.
So you ought to feel free.
Mm-hmm.
You ought to know if I'm sinning, that's out of character for me now.
Yeah.
It's not right for me to keep on in sin. Because Jesus took my sin and he was nailed to the cross. He shed his blood. He poured out his soul. He gave his body to make me right with the Father. You see that? And notice this. It says that you should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye are healed. Now that's what I was telling you. The sickness of the soul is sin. A soul trapped in sin is sick. See, but Jesus' soul being poured out made healing available for our soul so that we can be healed. For ye were as sheep going astray. You know he's talking about Isaiah 53, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
But now, he says, but are now returned unto the shepherd. That's the good shepherd who lays down his soul for the sheep. To the bishop of your soul. He is in charge over you. We got all kind of folk calling him bishop now. I like this one. This is the bishop I like. Right here, he's the bishop of my soul.
The only one I know.
Hallelujah. Peter also presents Christ as the solo Savior who has also started to be the bishop of our souls because of the perfect offering of his soul to satisfy God. That's what the gospel is. I wanted to make that plain to you. And I wanted you to see Jesus' soul poured out for you. Now, what should we do in response to that? Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. See, he promised, I'm coming again. Who else can do that? Who can make a promise?
No one else.
I'm going to the cross, but I'm coming again. Why? Because I'm going there to satisfy God for you. To please the Father for you. If you just believe in me, I got you. I see all these lawyers with these trials of tomorrow. I got you. Well, you ain't got me like this. This one here, when you stand in the most high court,
yeah,
and you come up before Almighty God, that day is coming. There's going to be a great white throne.
Yeah.
And he who sits upon the throne, the Bible says, the heavens and earth fled away. Mm-hmm. And there were no place found for them.
My.
Think about that. But the ones in Christ don't have to worry about the great white throne.
Right.
Because Jesus has covered you.
That's right.
If you trust him, he's making you right. He does it himself. This is the reason why it is gospel. Gospel, that word means good news. We talked yesterday about the word eulogy. The gospel is euangelizo. It's a good word. It's a good message.
Good news.
The best news in the world. And we can proclaim it freely. Whoever believes in the name of Jesus Christ shall not be put to shame.
Amen.
So I'm going to ask you to stand right now.
Mm-hmm.
He poured out his soul unto death.
Yes,
eternal God, we bless you, we praise you, we thank you, Father, for the gospel. Thank you for the clarity of your word. Thank you, Father, that we read there where we were all like sheep gone astray, and you allowed all of our iniquity to fall on your Son, every transgression, every disobedience, every evil thought, everything we're struggling with physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, everything. You took care of it and you healed it. When you gave your soul, Jesus, your own Son, poured out his soul, and by that alone you were satisfied. And so, Father, we just thank you for loving us that much that you allowed your own Son to do that, Lord, for us. Help us take that to heart, Father. Help us to let our soul be filtered with what Jesus did. He poured out his blood, his body, and his soul, his spirit. He was fully devoted to you in order to cleanse a wretch like me. And so, Father, help me not take that too shallow, Lord God. If I would save anybody in the room or under the sound of my voice who believes what you did, because when you raised him up out the grave, that was proof that he had done the job perfectly to your satisfaction. No one else has ever done that, nor ever will. And so, Father, we thank you for the blood of Jesus. Thank you for the soul of Jesus. Thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. Thank you for the body of Jesus. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. We just thank you, God, for free salvation that you made available to whosoever calls upon your Son. Believes in him by faith. Thank you for your grace today, Lord. Save anybody under the sound of my voice. And we ask it in Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' name.
And the church said together,
amen.
Amen. If you're here today and you'd like to unite with this body of believers, we give you that opportunity.
Yes.
At this time, come today.
Yes.
Amen. We love to count you in the number of the saints in St. Timothy.
Yes, we do.
Amen. So
yes,
if you're here today, come right now.
Yes.
And know that we are serious about the gospel. We love the Lord.
Yes.
We love you. And all of us have issues, we'll help you with yours. It's the best we can say. Amen. This is the best place to be among people who are like-minded.
Amen.
And so we ask you to come at this time, and we'll have prayer warriors to work with you and pray with you, pray you through any situation you're dealing with. Amen. People talking about all kinds of services and human health and psychiatry and all that. What you need is a good dose of God's word and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you more good than any medicine that you can find. Amen.
Yes,
so we want to ask you to come today.
Yes.
Come to Jesus while you have time. Come to Jesus. To Jesus while you can come too.
Yes.
Or if you're saved and you just want to put your sword in the same direction as ours,
yes,
you may come also at this time.
Yes.
Amen. We invite you to come.
Oh, yes.
Amen. And we see that there are none. Yes. Yet there is room.
We hope you got a good word from the message today. Amen.